السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. حضرت جی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ اس ٹائم میں مدرسہ دیر واز ون اسٹوڈنٹ ہی ڈیڈنٹ ہیو اینی اٹینڈ فیملیز اور اینی بڈی ٹو لک آفٹر ہیم ایکسیٹرا. So Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali used to take care of him. Whatever his needs are, his clothing, food, whatever he required. So, and he also had a demanding temperament. So one day he came while Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali was conducting the majlis. So he came to the majlis khana while the majlis is on. And from the door there now, he's telling Hazrat Ji, he said, I need new shoes. I need a new sandal. So Hazrat Ji is telling him, we just bought one sandal. What happened to the sandal? So he said, no, the strap is broken. So he needs another sandal. So, Hazrat Ji is asking him, where's the sandal, you know? The people in the majlis now, they're getting so upset with this person. People used to have a lot of respect for Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali, and this person now is shouting from there. No, he came inside. He came inside after that, and now he's speaking to Hazrat Ji. So he's telling Hazrat Ji, no, the strap is broken. So Hazrat Ji is asking him, where's the shoe? So he said, no, it's there outside. So now Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali went out. He went there, the champals are there outside. Now he's asking him, which one? This one. Picking up and showing him, he said, no, not that one. He's picking up another one. Eventually one person told him, don't be, you know, such a fool, go and show which shoe is yours now. You're giving Hazrat Ji taklif there, picking up one shoe. So then he went and he showed his shoe. So he had that kind of temperament, you know. But he passed away young in his student days. Young, he passed away. So when he passed away, Hazrat Ji was very grieved. Very grieved. And Hazrat Ji mentioned, they had one, like a toy, like, you know, person for entertainment, amusement used to say, now, he too is gone. You shouldn't get upset with him. You shouldn't get angry with him. Buzrugani Deen De Akhlaq is different. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to bring that akhlaq into our lives. We can't even be like that towards our wives. Forget anybody else. Our children, our wives. We can't be like that. We get upset. We get angry. A lot of times when you listen to these disputes between husband and wife, then you try to sit back and think, what is the problem? Certain marriages, there is problem. Sometimes there is a major problem. But most of them, you're trying to figure out what is the problem. What they're fighting for? She said that, and how could she say like this, and he said that, and how could he say like that? You try to figure out what's the problem, where's the problem, you're waiting for the problem doesn't come. And then you realize that the problem is an ego problem. Because of our ego, the ego is the problem. So, Hazrat Muhammad Abdul Hamid Sahib, Damat Barakatuh, so he mentioned that when there's pride, then there's problem. Nazim Abdul Haq Magda Sahib, he also always mentions this. Say, why are you getting angry? Bottom line is pride. Pride. You don't want to be told, you don't want anything to go against our temperament. We don't want anything must go against our temperament. Everything must be according to our temperament. If it's not happening according to my temperament, then I get upset. Somebody tells me something, I get upset. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we bring akhlaq-e-hamida. Nek akhlaq we must bring. Gee, so we commencing with another majlis of Hazrat Imam Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali. So this majlis took place on Yom Sabt, on a Saturday. 2nd Rabi'ul Awwal, 1409. Right? So corresponding with the 15th of October, 1988. This is what you call acceptance. Acceptance. I was mentioning to the students on Sunday morning after Fajr that in last week there was one clip going around of Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Sheikh ul Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Short clip, just few minutes in the Urdu language. Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was not much of a talker. Shouldn't have long majalis, etc. Right? So this clip was going around. And I'm telling them that normally you'll get one clip, one bayan, come on this group or that group. But this clip, everybody was sending it to you. So many people were sending the same clip. So far and wide it went. You're receiving the same thing from so many people. So this is just acceptance in the court of Allah Ta'ala. If you take Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's works, you take the Fazail e Amal, where and where it's gone. How many languages it's translated in. You take the Salat and Salam, the 40 Durud that we read, that's a Durud compilation of Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. How many places it is read? How many masajid, darul ulooms, individuals? When our Hazrat Mohammad Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali passed away, then his son Maulana Muhammad was now cleaning up the cupboards and all of that, you know. So Allah Pak reward him. That time he called us to the house, you know, if you want anything, you know. So he gave few itars and whatever. So then my eye caught the Salat and Salam kitab. So I told him, no, give me this kitab. So he gave me the kitab. So that kitab got Hazrat's name inside, stamped. That time Hazrat was still staying in Cactus Lane, so the rubber stamp was that address. So now how many he must have been reading whenever he was reading, and how many other people all reading that 40 Durud kitab. Now how much of sawab Hazrat Sheikh must be getting? Now other people also got 40 Durud compilations. But he didn't get that kind of acceptance. The acceptance that this particular compilation of Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah. So this is sometimes due to ikhlas, sometimes due to intense love. And with Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Allah knows best, but I, in my little weak mind, I think maybe it's because of the love he had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The respect and awe that he had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, towards the latter portion of his life, he was reduced to a wheelchair. He was in a wheelchair. And then he stopped going to the front. In those days, the young people that go now for Umrah, so they go to make ziyarat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that place where you're walking to go and make salam, the imam used to stand in front there. The minbar was there. That used to be safs. There were about four safs that used to be formed there for salah. So a lot of the buzrugan din, they used to read their namaz day in the front. In the first saf. Try and be in the first saf. Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, towards the latter portion of his life, he shouldn't go in the front. He shouldn't go in the front even to make salam. He used to sit on what was known at that time as the leg side, the Mubarak leg side of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because if you have to picture how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was buried, so you on the right side, facing the Qibla, or if it was other type of cover, whichever one it is, but the leg side would be this side. So there used to be a small, like a, now they, you can't go there anymore. They close it up. You can't go. I don't know if they allow any people to go there. But when you enter there, that elevated portion, that was known as the Suffa. Right? And in front of the Suffa, there was a small, like a one brick high elevation or two brick high elevation. So that was the Tahajjud Mimbar. Huzur e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to read his Tahajjud there many a time. And then on the left side of that, meaning now all the green jali is there, there was all the homes of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna ajma'in, and also the home of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu an, Hazrat Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So if you're facing Qibla, on the left hand side of that, so there was a section there. It's still there, the section is there, but they don't allow you to go there now. Maybe about 5-6 meters wide, or maybe 7 meters wide, and maybe about 15 meters in length. And in front of it there are the Quran shelves. So, people used to go and sit around there. So, Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when he used to go to make salam, then he used to go there. So, when people asked him that, why are you not going in the front, you know? So, he said that I feel shame to go in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam while I'm sitting on a chair. I'm ashamed to go. So, in that particular clip, of Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Sahib, the one that's doing his rounds now last week. So he is exhorting the Ummah to read Durood on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know? And he must have been giving the talk in a big majma, because he mentioned there, he said that now if everybody here has to send Durood upon Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then how happy Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would become. And then the family of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how happy will they'll all become. You know, there was one person, we met him in Madinah Munawwara. He came for one tour of that after Asar, when we used to sit and just talk with the friends a little bit. So he came there, and he had one youngster with him, his son, 8-year-old child. So that particular day we may have been talking about Durood or something, I can't even remember. But the father sent me a message. He said, Maulana, this child, he got so engrossed in reading Durood Sharif. See, children's minds are pure. We contaminate it. The child's heart and mind is pure, it's clean. When good goes into it, immediately the child takes it This is why these kuffar, they established schools. They established schools not to educate, but rather to pollute. So they established schools and they want the children to come from early age. Now they got grade R and grade RR. And the children must come from an early age and the pollution starts. If it is just clean teaching you some maths and some English and those things, nothing wrong with that. Even if they're teaching you some skills, some plumbing, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But it's all the other filth that goes with it. The type of environment that is created in that school. The type of things that takes place that pollutes the mind. And in today's zamana, they don't even make a secret of it. I mean, if they teaching the children, they're telling the children that, see, if Allah Pak made you a boy, you can defy Allah Pak and you can say, no, I want to be a girl. And if Allah, they tell the girl, if Allah Pak made you a girl, you can defy Allah Pak and you can say, no, I want to be a boy. Now, is that education? What that got to do with anything? Why are they teaching small children that? Small children, they are teaching them things what adults are supposed to be taught. They're teaching them all of that. And they're not only teaching them what is natural, they're teaching them what is unnatural. Totally, totally unnatural. And they're telling them that, no, it's normal, don't worry. It's normal. It's fine. If you're feeling like that, it's fine. It's normal. And then Allah Pak blessed the person with a wonderful lineage that he is the son of so-and-so, grandson of so-and-so, grandson of so-and-so. So what they telling the child that, no, no, your great-grandfather was Mr. and Mrs. Monkey. See, we can laugh, right? Can laugh. But if the child has to believe that, and which has happened to so many children, the child has to believe it. The child gets convinced that, no, no, this thing makes sense. Right? Now, where's the child's iman? By this influence is such a dangerous thing, you know. And to just be a free thinker, you know, such a dangerous thing. One person, he is very famous on the YouTube. Right? Very famous on the YouTube. And he always got his own comes up with his own conclusions with regards to the tafsir of this ayat and that ayat. Recently he came to South Africa also, people hosted him. He went to UK. When people took him up on a couple of things, he said he was getting very, very upset and everything. Right? Now today somebody sent me a message. Said, Mawlana, this person now, he went to the tomb. See, this is what happens when we start free thinking now. And when people are bought off, they got an agenda. They got an agenda that they are, you know. So he went to the tomb of some Roman king. Right? This Roman king was put to death by the Uthmani Khilafat at the time. The Turkish Ottoman, what they call the Ottoman Empire. He was put to death that time. So he is standing there by that fellow's tomb and he is saying, he is calling this fellow a shaheed. He is a kafir. He is calling him a shaheed. And he is praising him and he is, the way he is, the message he is giving, like the Uthmani Khilafat, they made zulam on this fellow and his family. And he is making dua for this person who died on kufr. Now what this is, if you listen carefully, is promoting this Abrahamic accord. Now, because we don't think, we're not looking for the dangers, right? So everything chalega, chalega, no man, God. But we don't realize that these things are attacking our iman. The very core of the iman is being attacked. Our children, so many of them, they are getting carried away with different concepts. Right? I can tell you with confidence that it is happening. Because so many people, young people, they write to me. They are confused about this. They are confused about it. And they're coming from good homes. When it comes to this evolution and all these things. They get carried away because it's being drummed in their heads. They get carried away. So, I don't know where we went away, but coming back, as a Sheikh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, so he's encouraging that must read Durood Sharif. So I was telling you about that youngster, that you see the park mind, you know, pure mind. So now he heard about Durood Sharif. Now he is a small child, right? Now he started reading Durood Sharif. One way is reading Durood Sharif. The parents, they themselves, the father is saying, we are surprised how much Durood Sharif is reading. All time is reading Durood Sharif. One night, in Madina Munawara, this small child sees a dream. Sees a dream that there are some people on top of the gumbat. They are cleaning the gumbat and making it beautiful. Right? And they put a ladder down. They put a ladder down and they're telling this youngster, no, you come. You come up. You come here on top. A small child, 8 year old, is reading Durood upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? And Allah Ta'ala shows him this kind of dream. So Hazrat Shaykh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is encouraging there that we must read Durood. But what was the thing that really makes your hair stand? That the talk then it cuts, and then after a second or two, Hazrat Shaykh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah is making dua. Right? And what a dua. You know, when you hear him saying Allah, Allah, he's pleading to Allah Pak in the dua. And towards the end, he makes a dua. He says, Ya Allah, give us tawfiq, give the ummah tawfiq, that every day we must read 10,000 durood upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 10,000 durood every day. So I'm thinking, that normally the mashayikh, they prescribe something looking at the weakness of the ummah. So sometimes their amal is much more. Their amal is much more. When they're prescribing something for the ummah, they prescribe something much less looking at the weakness of the ummah. So Allah Ta'ala alone knows how much Durood Sharif he was reading. Allah alone knows how much Durood Sharif he must have been reading. If he's talking about for people like me and you, that we must read 10,000 Durood Sharif, like daily 10,000 Durood, like it's like so doable, like, you know. And for us, are we managing 10 also? Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, you know. You send durood upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam daily. Sometimes I feel that maybe his love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his, the importance that he placed on Durood Sharif. But he did many other things. He was a muhaddith of note, author of note, ustad of note, sheikh tariqat of note. Then he was also involved in tabligh. Right? Not so actively, but in the early days when everything was still getting structured and everything, as the Sheikh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah, he was involved there also. Because that was all his family, right? So in so many things he was involved. But his love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, something outstanding. So I wasn't going to talk about all this, but all the scheme, Allah Ta'ala make it beneficial. So in this majlis here of Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali, Hazji mentions who is an alim. So who is an alim? And then he mentioned that one can categorically state that all the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were ulama. Although they didn't do any course, didn't come to a madrasa, there were no darul ulooms, the kitabs were not even existing that time. There was no dars-e-nizami and all that, nothing. But all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were ulama. So we can thus state quite confidently that an alim is not necessarily that person who sits with prescribed kitabs, the darsiyat, darsiyat-e-kutub in front of him, and he has an ustad that is giving the lessons. There were no kitabs in front of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum presented themselves to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, focus of the divine mission to be taught by him without the aid of any kitabs. There were no kitabs. And a lot of the students feel we should have enrolled in that Darul Ulum because there was no imtihan. But imtihan was taking place all the time. We think sometime we can't make bardash of sugar beans. Why? They were going sometime days without food. Where we could have managed that time? This shows quite clearly that the aim and objective is to gain ilm-e-deen. And this is neither dependent on nor confined to kitabs. This is also borne out by the following hadith sharif: "Talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslimin." In another riwayat, Muslima also is mentioned. Talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslimin wa muslimatin. That to acquire ilm is fard. The ilm referred to here is ilm-e-deen. That's the only thing that is referred to as ilm. Dunyavi, what they call knowledge, that is not knowledge. That is information that you acquire to earn your rizq or to make your stay in the world easy. But when the Quran Sharif and the Hadith Sharif talk about ilm, it's talking about ilm-e-deen. So that knowledge was revealed through wahi. Wahi jali and wahi khafi. The Quran Sharif being wahi jali, the Hadith Sharif being wahi khafi. Fiqh is the setting out of the rules and laws contained in the Quran Sharif and the Hadith Sharif into a systematic arrangement. All the laws, not everybody knows how to derive the laws. The fuqaha, Allah Ta'ala filled their kubur with nur. They studied the hadith, they knew the Quran Sharif, the hadith Sharif, they derived the laws, and they put everything into systematic order for us. Now you want to know about wudu, it's there all in one place. You want to know about salah, is there all in one place. You want to know about janaza, is there all in one place. That is the work of the fuqaha. What a great khidmat they made for us. So that is fiqh. The teaching of these rules and laws, also you are still teaching what came from Allah Ta'ala. Confirmation of the importance of attaining ilm as well as its reality have been stated in an amazing and wondrous manner in a specific ayat of the Quran Sharif. So Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Alayhi says that I am not a hafiz, so I will get a hafiz to read that ayat. And which ayat is referring to? وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّ. When the mu'mineen go out in jihad, then all mustn't go together. Obviously, there are different types of jihad, etc. This is referring to a jihad where people are required, but it's not like a jihad where you need every person to take part. So then everybody mustn't go. فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ. From every large group, one small group mustn't go out. They must, why should one small group from every large group not go out and the rest remain behind, so that these may acquire the understanding of deen, so that they may warn those who had gone out on their return in order that they may adopt caution. So even at that time, look at the importance given to ilm deen. Yesterday, I met Maulana Desai. This Maulana Desai is an elderly person. He lives in Curry's Post. So, he has had taluk with Hazrat Maulana Masjullah Rahmatullah. So anyway, he mentioned one incident. He was talking about when we make dua, we must make dua with conviction. So he mentioned one incident. He said, Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Now some say Hajjaj bin Yusuf, he was a zalim. I say some say, because other ulama say that there's a lot of fabrications around Hajjaj. So Allah Ta'ala knows best. Right? So Hajjaj bin Yusuf, he was making tawaf. And in the tawaf, he hears one person. He's making dua to Allah Ta'ala. He says, Ya Allah, give my sight back. Right? So he stopped there by that man. He said, but what dua are you making? So the person said, who are you? He said, no, I'm Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Now everybody, if he was that tyrant that people talk about, so people used to fight for him. So he told that person, what dua are you making? He said, no man, you know, I lost my eyesight, on my eyesight back. So I'm making dua to Allah Pak from so long, I'm making dua, not getting my eyesight back. So Hajjaj told him, see, I'm making 7 rounds tawaf here. By the time I finish the 7 round, if you don't get your eyesight back, I'm going to kill you. He took one soldier. He said, you stand here by me, don't run away. He said, now that person knows Hajjaj. So Hajjaj carried on his tawaf. Now this fellow really start making dua. So he said, by the time Hajjaj finishes, if I don't get my eyesight back. He said, by the time the tawaf finish, this fellow had his eyesight back. The way he was crying to Allah. He mentioned the incident to say that when you make dua from the heart. Allah Ta'ala will accept the dua. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. بسم الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحانك.